Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Lord, that from eternity to eternity, eternity past to eternity future, you are God. We thank you for that. Thank you for this body. Thank you for everything in your precious name, in the name of your Son, our Lord. Amen. When I think of the miracle that I'm here, and I should be nervous, but just to be loved and to be in a place of love, it's awesome. The thing that I really so much appreciated of Pastor Schaller's early ministry and his ministry now is that he has like a divine skill. Paul said, the capacity is built by cherishing, and then the people are fed by nourishing. That's really amazing secret. That is when the flock of the sheep are on the grass and they just lay down and chew the grass and they're rested. There's cherishing aspect and there's nourishing. There are many nourishers. There are many teachers that can give you the food. But the grace gives the cherishing, the eternal perspective into God's heart and mind that was in eternity past. That gives us the ability to relax. We can't really chew our food if we're not relaxed. We need to be relaxed, but at the same time, the nourishing food gives us motivation. I'm living in, so thank you everyone and the household who have been, Kathy and Bob. Ooh, it's like a little moment of heaven. I started to look forward to it always, if it's possible to be here. Just to be and look out the window and see the sky reflect, 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 and then come to the body. Now, there are many things we can learn about God. But if there is a place to learn it in the body context, there are people in prisons today for their faith. They would love to have such a body context, but they may not have it at the moment. It's okay. One thing that really blesses me always when God has touched the heart and people are excited about it, that it's kind of like something of the early sense of the fisherman when he said, follow me. They know nothing about this man. They see how he comes. They see something in his eyes. They see he's different. He looks at them. Follow me. They're gone. Wow. What happened? The woman of the great lady of Shunem in the Old Testament, Tanakh, sees the man of God walk by. He goes, he comes another time. He comes, he goes. Who is he? Now he goes. The way he goes. Also, when the people, the disciples saw the master, the Messiah, as he walked, John saw as he walked and said, "Boo! Wow, behold the Lamb of God. He walks differently. He comes from a different place. I got to join him to see where he's going." That's amazing. I meet many people that are excited about God. There's an old gentleman in Israel who is a bishop of an Orthodox church. He's always excited. He's so excited about the things of God. But he doesn't have always the fellowship where he can give and receive. So he's looking for people that listen. And then one time he came to us and he said, I got exciting news. I found the missing piece why Apostle John could walk straight on to the high priest palace and just say whatever. Why he wasn't afraid to go to the priest when the other disciples run wherever they run, run away. That's he found an ancient document in Galilee that said that Apostle John and his father had a fishing business, and they provided the fish to the high priest. So high priest knew John, and John wasn't afraid of him when everyone else ran away. Well, that's just an example, few examples that people can be excited about the truth. But here's the thing. I love that. God loves that. But we have a body context to experience it. And then the second thing about it is that the excitement, the freshness, is not a man-made freshness, but it comes from another place, another source. So that if we've been in a body life 1 year, 10 years, 40 years, and some beyond, like Pastor Seller, and whatever, I've been, I think, a little also up there somewhere, it does not need to get old. But one of the reasons why it doesn't need to get old is we're not familiar. But what helps us not to be familiar? We look to the past. We look to the future. And we're looking to the one who fills everything in between. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Just sitting here, so many verses just run through my mind. So many thoughts about eternity of God and His sweetness in time. How vast He is, but He's next to each one of us and in each one of us. His greatness fills the universe, but His smallness changes us when He says, I'm the bread of life. It's spiritually always, but also especially in communion. So just for one moment, I wanted to take a very small comparison between the lives of these two men of God, Apostle Paul and Moses. When Moses was on a mountain with God, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You think there's a man who wrote 5 books. One man had so much of God that he wrote 5 books. Wow. Now, Paul wrote a lot. And then there's two that came pretty close. Luke. Count of chapters. Luke wrote a lot. And John, the gospel, the epistles, and Revelation. Luke and John come pretty close to Paul. Paul wrote so much. John had an advantage because he wrote the gospels from his experience. Then he spent time with Miriam, the mother of the Lord. And he got to know the youthful side of our Lord. What a treat. He couldn't travel always when the others were traveling. He had to tend to this task as well. But it was God's appointed time to connect in John's mind the human life and the divine life of the Messiah. And when John got those insights, he had so much. And then John began to read the letters of Paul at some stage. They all did. And then it's amazing when Paul wrote, you're the body of the Messiah, He's the head, and you're the members, and He grows in you. And then John sits down and he thinks, wow, yeah, the others didn't mention this when the Master said, I am the vine of truth, and then I grow my life in my members. And that's the same as the head and the body. And he went through Paul's letters and sat, and then things were quickened to him what the Lord had said and done that the others didn't pay attention to. But I'm getting a little bit away from what I was going to say. It's all okay. We have a highway. Yeah. So when, wow. We could just say all day here, wow. Just open one verse, wow. when Moses was on a mountain, there was no visible throne of God there that we know, but the presence of God was with him. The people would watch that mount burning with fire, out of black smoke. And Moses is there talking with God. They have no clue what's going on. They really, it's like, sometimes ministers of the word, pastors, teachers, preachers, feel that what they have, they're wondering, are the people getting it? Well, Moses is with God, and here's the thing. When God is there, he is with his eternity. There's the past, there's the present. Now we're under this mountain. God is about to speak from his word, and then there's also the future. There's a saying, and I like this, that before the throne of God, there is no time. Past, present, and future merge into one. So when Moses is there, when he studied in Egypt, my friends, the teaching of the Egyptians, they didn't teach the history of Israel to him. They didn't teach to him what happened to Abraham, what happened to Isaac, what happened to Jacob, what happened in the creation of the world. No, their versions were totally different, and I don't, even if I knew about them, I wouldn't say anything about them. So God taught Moses the history of Israel. History of the world, which starts from Genesis 1. Bereshit haya hadavar. In the beginning was the word. Then he moves on. He tells Moses the past. Then he gives the word to walk in for that dispensation. And then he gives Moses a song. And then at the end of the song, there is some light. Now, something similar happened to Apostle Paul, but let me just say for our encouragement how the Word of God comes in so many different ways. In Deuteronomy 32, here is Moses standing. And I would be saying like, Moses, what are you doing? 32 verse 1, he starts, give ear, O heavens, I'm speaking to the heavens. Moses, you're on the earth, the people are here, they're listening. Moses says, give ear, O heavens. Yeah. And then he says, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. What's going on? It's the same with Paul. When Paul speaks, good example of that is Ephesians 2. He talks about the house of God, which is when we speak these words on the earth, it affects the heavens. When we are built in the one new man, when we get glimpse of him who came to our world, the heavens and the earth, they are all there. In the spirit is not here and there. In our physical world is here and there. And that's why there are times when we feel I need a little Shabbat. It's okay. It's good. But in the spirit, there's no here and there. And so before the throne of God, Moses addresses heavens and the earth. And this is the beauty when we speak the gospel on the earth, the unmixed gospel of the Lord, unmixed word, the eternal word. It doesn't build something only on the earth. It builds directly in heaven. I personally do not believe there's two separate building programs. That here we build with the Word of God, and then there's another building program where the New Jerusalem is built totally unconnected to this. Oh, no. I never believe that. When Paul put everything in lines the same way as Pastor Sibeli gets on a plane and goes to Africa, goes to this church and that church and builds them with the word of grace very, very wisely and step by step. This building is actually working the eternal house in the heavens. This word that is here is the same that is up there. There's such a consciousness in our hearts that this whole thing is eternal. Yeah. But it's nice how God does it in such a way that it just comes to our capacity. Chapter 32, verse 2. My doctrine, my teaching and my doctrine, it'll drop as rain. It just drops. My speech shall distill as the dew. It doesn't come always, it doesn't have to be a fiery thing. And it comes softly, gently, softly, quietly. I know nothing better than to sit quietly in the quietness of God, where the past, present, and the future comes together. And I'll just say this, that Moses saw that while there's hard times and people are not responding, but then he says, verse 36, for the Lord shall judge his people. It means really in Hebrew, he'll judge the cause of his people. He'll come to their defense. Often judge means that you have a good defense lawyer. Good. The Lord shall judge his people and repent himself concerning his servants. It's like, oh my goodness, I had to do what I had to do, but I just want to show you mercy. Oh, satisfy us early with thy grace. When he seeth that thy power is gone, that there's none shut up and left, and then God will move. He sees the future. He sees the glory for the people. Moses saw the past, present was very difficult, and then the glorious future. But just one statement about Apostle Paul. Second epistle of Paul to Timothy and chapter 4. Now, Paul was in the same similar situation as Moses, in a sense that he, when he was with God, not only that the light of God met him in one moment, but then he had to go to the wilderness and peacefully and gracefully go through everything he had learned and then go to Antioch and sit it out in the context of the body. How beautiful, how important. There's a whole volume I'd like to say about that transition, but just think about it. He knew more than anybody knew in Antioch. Thousands of times more. What he'd learned. He was with the master in the wilderness, just like the disciples were with the master. But he comes to Antioch and sits with the disciples and sits it out. And he's in no hurry to speak. He'll start sharing because he's in the context of the body. I'm going to bring it to a close. But at the end of his life, something similar. When Paul saw the eternity of God, he not only saw the history of Israel, the church, but in the eternities of before the ages. And we could say we were the gift of the Father to the Son in God's mind. I prefer to say it in the reality of God. it's not just that he had a thought, but he has a reality where past, present, and future meet. And that's why when he spoke about the body, he said, whoever he called them, he justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. He saw past, present, and future. But then at the end of his book, in 2 Timothy 4, and we'll finish here, Moses said, "Hear, O heavens, hear, O earth, I got the word." It's for all of the all the universe. And Paul says, chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. It comes in all different ways, distilled by teaching and by preaching. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. But then he doesn't say reprove by reproving and rebuke by rebuking, exhort with exhorting, but reprove by long-suffering and doctrine. Rebuke by long-suffering and doctrine. Exhort by long-suffering and doctrine. And that's the difference. When we give the word in the character of God, it has that freshness. Follow me. So many times when we see someone or we listen to something that challenges our flesh, there's that freshness. Follow me. I see, I'm here, I'm this way, I don't know if I ever get here. No. We see that there is the touch of God that already sees me here while I'm here. Thank you, Lord, for being perfect. Thank you for going beyond all we can even ask or think. And this thought really blesses me when God says, when we pray, he goes above all, everything we can even ask. And his peace, Greek says, maybe passes our understanding. I'm not a Greek scholar. But Aramaic says, is greater than all understanding. Is greater than all the combined understanding of men and angels and intelligences. All the understanding that is in the world put together. The peace of God is greater than all understanding. In other words, we have the God of all grace. When he said, follow me, we saw something in his eyes. We don't want to ever stop. It gets better and better. Amen. I almost forgot the most important part. First of all, thank you for coming here. So it's too late to say welcome here. But if you have not crossed that line to recognize my ability to say myself is gone, I cannot say myself. I am a sinner. I don't need to understand everything about it, but I need to understand I cannot say myself, I'm a sinner. I do not have his life in me, but he can give me that other life. He can give me my forgiveness of sins that he paid for. If you need to take that step by simple prayer, please just say this in your heart, in your own words. Dear God, dear Father, you made me so I could be with you in your kingdom, in your fellowship forever. I need your salvation. Show me this reality. Come into my heart. I open my heart to you. I don't even need to beg you to come. You're more willing to come than I'm willing to ask. But I know I'm a sinner. You paid for my sins. You rose from the dead. I believe in this. I believe in you. Please hear me. I want you. If you just prayed that prayer, Please could you raise your hand? We all may be already inside the fold, so to speak, but if you haven't taken this step yet, please raise your hand. It's so good to be always to make sure that we all have that passport to the heavenly kingdom. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying yes to Jesus whenever you already have done it. Amen.